They seem to be eager to get there. You notice that A.B. Campbell is back. And we are so glad. He is healing from his burns. And the Lord is helping. If I were to ask you a question this morning, and I were to ask you, what do you think the Lord's will is? Would you have a scriptural answer? Or would your answer be something from your heart? I'm going to ask that question this morning. What is God's will? And I'm going to answer it with a piece of scripture, one verse. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. And in 2 Peter 3:9, we are told, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does repentance have to do with God's will? Let's look at a few people's lives. I've had several people ask me the same question lately. And here's the question. Do you think that God would give me a desire in my heart that if he was not willing to fulfill it? That's a tough one. Do you think that God would give me a desire in my heart if he was not willing to fulfill it? My reply was this, because I did not know the situation. Are you sure that God is the one who put the desire in your heart? Wow, what a cop out. The answer to that question most of the time is the same. Well, I've been praying for God's will in my life, and this is what I've been given. If you are petitioning God this morning for his will in your life, and you're getting a response, here is what you need to do. You need to find a place in God's word where the response is the same that you have received. Or you need to find a place where that kind of response is attributed to an evil spirit. God is not going to do anything to hurt you. If you're doing and seeking his will with your soul and life's purpose. Recently, I was praying for someone who had shared with me their desire to have God provide someone for them to love. The kind of love we're talking about is not agape love, but more in line with Eros love. They want to be emotionally involved with a person approved by God. You may justly think, is this something that could be of God's will? Let's think about that. And how the scriptures might address that. To address this subject in the scriptures, we need to ask the question, what are we told by the Word of God? If I am candid with you, I already had my mind made up about what God might do for someone who loved him and wanted to serve him with most of their heart. Notice the word most. I felt sure that God would answer our prayers in a very positive way. So I set out to find an answer from the Bible. I found an answer. It was not what I expected. It was not really what I wanted. Let me share some verses with you this morning that I found that dealt with the will of God. That's important to me as a child of God. I'm sure it's important to you as a child of God. So we're going to look at some verses this morning. Now, we might not like what they say, but they are God's word to us. Let's start off with 1 Peter 4:19. 1 Peter 4:19. And it says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. This was not a verse that I wanted to hear. It did not align with my idea of how God would react to someone who was fond of and wanted to see happiness. This verse is telling us, it's telling me, that in some cases, my thoughts might not be God's thoughts on a particular subject. So let's look at another verse in Peter, 1 Peter 3:17. 1 Peter 3:17 tells us, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. There's a word here, folks, that keeps popping up. And the word is suffer. And every one of us have times when we do suffer. Most of the time, it's our own fault. But God knows. God knows when you are suffering. And that is not God's will for you. Wait a minute. I don't want anybody to suffer, especially me or somebody I know. I don't want to be doing evil, but I don't want to continue doing what I've been doing without a chance for my prayers to be answered for my good friend. Does that mean that I'm not going to get an answer that I was expecting? Where did it go wrong? Let me show you where I went astray. It's a passage that I am familiar with, but I try to ignore what it says because it shows me that I'm not always right or even on the same page as God. You may have some difficulty with this too. That's why we're addressing it this morning. But if it is in God's word, it is God's truth that we're dealing with here. Let me share what God said. Isaiah 55, 8 through 11. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. I'll give you just a minute to find that. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 11, it says, and this is God talking to us. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Folks, that's why we're going to be at the fair this year. We're going to be giving out the word of God. And it will not return to him void. We will not see the fruit. Maybe we'll see a little bit, but we'll not see the fruit. But we have God's promise. As we give out his word, it will not return void. There's two parts to this passage of scripture, and it's important that we keep these two parts separate. The first part is telling us that we're not going to always understand God's purpose, but you can be sure that it is always for your best. It goes to the verse that we talk about all the time. You've all got it memorized. You've got it right here, or right here. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together to them for good, to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And that is part one, and it's comprised of verse 8 and verse 9. Part two is verses 10 and 11. And they tell us that God is going to take care. We're referring back to Isaiah 55. They tell us that God is going to take care of everything and that the outcome will be better than we could ever imagine. I'm forced by God's Holy Spirit to tell you that I want my way. Yeah, I do. And I try to get it whenever I can. You probably do the same thing. That's where I bump heads with God. You may do the same. You know what I found? his head is harder than mine. His head is bigger than mine. And I lose. You would think that I would learn. I've been accused of being bullheaded, and those accusing me of that might be right. There are times when I think that my way is the only way, and I push for my way. None of you would have probably ever do that. But before we're done, let's look at a couple more passages that deal with the will of God. And the first passage that we're going to look at is right next to the verse we just looked at of Romans 28. It's Romans 8, 25 through 27. Sometimes we memorize a verse and we never go back and look at the area around it. But there are three verses before Romans 8, 28 that we need to be aware of. Let's look at Romans 8, 25 through 27. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to, listen to this, the will of God. Oh, people, we've got somebody within us who knows what God's will is and wants it. Have you ever entered a drawing, or sometimes the sweepstakes, for something that you really wanted, something that you really needed, something that you could really use? There was no entry fee, and you have made no investment in the prize, but you could really use it and you want it. Did you ever ask God to let you win? Did you ever pray for it, but you didn't get it? Could you have been praying wrong? Could you have been praying for your will, not God's will? Sometimes it's pretty difficult to see things God's way. We all have a prejudice built into us, and that prejudice is called me. And me has desires and appetites. He wants things, or she wants things. Did you ever have you enter a contest of some sort or a drawing of some sort, and you start praying for this thing? You know, God, I could really use this, and it would be a great help to me. And somewhere inside, there's that little, still, small voice that Elijah heard that says no. You hear it, but you ignore it. You don't want to hear it. And you know in your heart, it's not going to happen. You continue to pray, to try and force your will upon God. He just said in Isaiah 55 that our thoughts are not his thoughts. His thoughts are way above here. Did you hope for it? Was it a false hope? Were you disappointed? Were you disillusioned? You know, I know people whose lives have been ruined. Their relationship with God has been ended and cut off because they didn't get a prayer answered the way they wanted it answered. We need to decide what God's will is concerning us. That's the predicament I found myself in. You may have found yourself in the same type of predicament. When I was praying for resolution to the desire of a friend who wanted a companion, what we want, what you and I want, may be not what the Lord wants. Are you willing? Are you willing to accept God's will in place of your will? Some people never learn that they have to abandon their desires and replace them with the will of God. That's really what devotions are all about. Each morning, do you read your devotions in the morning? Out here on the information desk, there are several different kinds of devotions. Our daily bread. There's several different kinds out there. Take at least one. I read four every morning. And that helps me to get through the day based upon what God's will is. I'd like for us to look at another scripture. This time it's Romans 12, 2. Now, we just finished the 12th chapter of Romans in Sunday school this morning. But Romans 12, 2 is a very important verse. And it's one that God means. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is going to be a difficult one to do. It goes against most of the desires of my heart and my lifestyle. Now, people, we're going to go into an area that's going to be important to every one of you, most of you. I have grandchildren. That don't have the same lifestyle that I have. They don't go to church. Their lifestyle is not the same as mine. And it causes me to wonder, do they really know Jesus? I don't think that they do. How do I share with them what's on my heart toward them? I wonder, maybe you do the same. Why didn't my children teach their children about Jesus and be sure that everything was understood by their children while their children were so young? My wife and I raised two boys. We sent them to Christian school. Not just elementary school, but high school too. Then we sent them on to Christian university. What happened to all the teaching and praying that we did? The truth is, I saw shortcomings in the way that my kids raised their kids, the way they raised their children. They thought the way they thought they should be raised. My wife and I did not want our children to be driven away from us. So we kept our opinions to ourselves. Starting to sound familiar? Oh, we tried to tell them, but we stopped short of nagging them. There is now a great canyon between us and our grandchildren. Canyon called hell. Now I wish we'd spent more time nagging. What can we do? What can you do if this you find this same situation? My first wife, the children's biological mother, has since gone home to be with the Lord. My present wife, our boy's stepmother, and I are very convinced, concerned about all the kids. We pray for a lot of them. We're praying according to God's will for them. I read about God's will in 2 Peter. It's a promise to you as well as to me. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As we've prayed, we've seen a change taking place in the lives of some of our children and grandchildren. They've gotten into good churches, and we've rejoiced when they've shared about getting saved. Right now, half our grandchildren have made professions of faith and have been baptized. Although prayer based upon God's will is recorded in God's word, one of our sons has even gotten involved in a good church. We're told to pray in the Spirit according to God's will, and it works. Here's what I have been attempting to communicate to all of us. God's will is not necessarily our will. We don't think like God thinks. Most of the time, you and I have desires and plans that are not what God wants. Our desires and plans are stimulated by our appetites and sometimes by our evil hearts. That's why God says that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We need to bend our ways to God's ways and our desires to God's desires. Now we can try to do this, but it's going to be very difficult because God is so much more holy than we are. God is so much more patient than we are. God knows the future so much more perfectly than we do. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. You and I must come before our superior God with fear and submission. We must come before God in the power of the Spirit and worship and wait. God has stated a truth that is fantastic in its simplicity. God has told us in his word, be still and know that I am God. This truth goes against everything we normally are. We want to handle this situation. We think that we're able to do it. But we're wrong. We have to remember that actions have consequences. And we can't choose those consequences. God has already determined them. I know a few men who have invested their life in God's will. And we've heard about them, all of us have. They have names like Moody, Livingston, Graham, Jones, Mueller. They gave their lives over to the Lord, and they never went back to take them back again. They spent their lives in the service of the Lord. We need to surrender our will to God's will and go forth like they did. There will be changes. But the rewards will outweigh any sacrifice that we are asked to make. Will you reach out to your Lord and become his servant rather than his helper? There's a difference. Mary Schlesinger gave her life to the children of Africa. And God provided everything she needed until it was time for her to go home to heaven. Just imagine the reception she got when she went home. The question is, are you willing to give your life to the Lord to fulfill his will? Will you reach out and serve him as your master? Father, we are so stubborn, we're so difficult to get along with. We have our own wills. We have our own desires. We try and run our own lives. But Father, This morning, I would like to ask that you help me to submit my life to you. That you would help the brothers and sisters seated here this morning to submit to your will above their will. And Father, may your Holy Spirit have his way in each heart, each mind, as I have prayed before. May you be glorified. May your will be done. And Father, we will praise you for everything that you do, because we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.